Okay, fantastic. You got a Bible? Turn to Romans. Romans. I've really only got one verse or a couple of verses here just to talk to you. We're going to just kind of share some things with you today that we're obviously starting a new series. Tim was telling you about it earlier, and I'm really looking forward to it because, you know, it's an interesting thing, the world in which we live. You know, with the whole political correct crowd and saying certain things, you know, and not saying certain things and all kinds of things, is that people have started just believing things because when people have said it long enough, you just start believing it, right? And it's an interesting time in which we live. You know, what I want to share with you today under the Scott questions is something really probably 20, 25 years ago I wouldn't have had to have addressed, at least not that much. But today it's right. It's critical that we talk about things like this because, you know, in the world in which we live, especially the culture in which you live and the academic direction of so many that you've sat under and heard from, and they laugh at the notion of who God is, if God exists, and those type things, and laugh and make fun and propagandize, if you will, and you know, just being honest with you, okay, it's real easy to share, you know, because the reason I'm taking this time today is because it's been so presented. Today, basically, I'm going to be answering the question, does God exist? And is there any proof of his existence? And not only is there proof of his existence, it's so just to the, if you will, empirical look, just the outside look, it's pretty obvious. And yet, you, if you're the typical teenager / college student of, say, within the last 15, 20 years up till now, you have been told that there is absolutely zero evidence that God exists and that you really are just, you know, kind of ignorant if you do believe he exists. That's kind of the propaganda and the education system. I mean, that's what they've kind of told you. And I, you know, I just want to just share. I want to start with you today. And I want to be respectful here. I'm not into the, you know, rhetorical name calling and all that. But I've got to tell you the truth too. And I've got to let you see it and let you see it clear. That's what these next few weeks are good. If you got questions, these are the weeks for you. Because this look, as that's what I'm going to do over the next few weeks. We're just going to talk about, just put right out on the table in simple terms, the things about who God is and different things, and you'll see where we're going with that over the weeks. But when I look at today, I've just entitled today creation, and the fact that we have a creation. I'm not going back to the Genesis story and recount all that, but I want to talk to you about that creation does exist and what that looks like and really what that says to us. And again, what I'd like to say is that we don't, this is not as hard as it may sound when you take a look at it. All right. But is there any proof? Now take a look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. And since we're going to be looking at proofs of God's existence, there's very few scriptures that talk about this. Okay? There are a couple. One, it says that the, I just want you to hear it, it says that the fool has believed in his heart there is no God. All right? Well, we're not going to talk about that as near as much today. All right? But I want you to know that scriptures just kind of share, it's just a given. And then there's this one in Romans. And really, this the only verses I'm going to share with you today, because I'm looking more at the evidence that we see around us. And the reason I'm going this direction would be unlike any message that I normally do. Because I'm going to kind of start with this verse, and we're going to go the direction that this verse tells us to go. All right, let's take a look at it, if you will, in Romans chapter 1. And take a look at verse 19. says, for what can be known about God is plain to them. Talking about the people at that time, the Romans at that time. In other words, God and who He is plain to everyone who wants to know. Okay, I just want you to hear that for a second. It's plain to everyone who wants to know. And we'll talk about that in a minute, because there's a lot of people who just don't want to know. Okay? But it's plain to those who want to know. Let's continue to read. Because God has shown it to them. In fact, the evidence, not only for His existence, but even who He is, can be found all around you for those who have ears to hear, right? Let's continue to read. For His invisible attributes, okay, namely His eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. If you like writing in the Bible, if you have it with you, put it in the things that have been made, or in the things that have been created. So you're going to see attributes, you're going to see power, you're going to see divine nature. You're going to see those things in the things that He has made all around you. If you want to look at them. So today is going to have that feel. Okay? I'm not going to kind of go through, which is rare for me, but I'm not going to go through, passages. We're going to kind of just go with what this verse says, just evidence around us. And let's learn about a little bit about who God is. And mainly today, His existence and proof of His existence in just the world that we have around us. Okay? Now, as we walk through this is actually going to be pretty simple, but I want you to hear this as you happen, because it's an incredible thing, the world in which we live. I even remember when I was going through school, and if this was ever broached, there was this pressure, this external pressure. And internal, but mainly external pressure that was put on you to keep your mouth shut in class. And it's an interesting thing. I mean, there's a movie out about it. I have not seen the movie. But from what I've heard, it's pretty good. But I want you to see the truth about it. And obviousness. Because I am convinced that so many people root what they believe in what other people tell them, and they root it in kind of whatever the pressure is to conform of whoever it is that those are setting it. Now, so as I take a look today, we're going to look at several things, but you have today, the way I look at it, you only have two choices when it comes down to existence, right? You really only have two choices. First of all, you have a creator, right? Or number two, you have chance. There are no other options here. Well, I like more options. Well, go figure them out if you want to, but there are really only two. Okay? In other words, all that we have here, the design that we have, that means this creation has a creator. Okay? But then, obviously, the most popular today and what is presented as fact, which is a fallacy in and of itself, you know that, right? You know that. It's still called the theory. Not anymore, but they present it as absolute fact, and it's just laughable. But basically, here's the thought, is that everything has evolved over long, long periods of time, and I understand that. But the one thing that's tough is that everything that exists today came from nothing. That's where you've got to remember. It's a huge leap of faith. I know they don't like to say it that way, but it's a huge leap of faith to jump from nothing to everything. Okay? You just need to know that. You see, here's this interesting piece. Whenever you go and you look at this thought, it's incredible how architects can build these huge buildings. But remember, what's important to always look at is not what's built up here and what looks so complicated and so amazing up here. Is look at what it is all resting upon. Look down here. We call it the presupposition. That is, what is all of this based upon? In other words, because this is true, this is true. And because this is true, this is true. And because this is true, this is true. Now, here's the thought. You can get so complicated in all these, you can fail to look back at the simple one. Okay? Because this is true, this is true. Now, therefore, if this is not true, this you have to listen to me here. If this is not true, but you say it is, then you go to this one. And then, this is not true, but because this is true, this is true, this is true, this is true. You fail to take a look all the way back here. None of this matters. If what all of it is based upon goes back here. And the thought truly is this. Everything generated spontaneously. Spontaneous generation, right? It all came into existence from non-existence. I can't tell you how much faith it takes to believe something like that. All right? And that makes sense. If you think about it, I can't tell you how much faith it takes. Oh, but no, it's scientifically proven. Oh, God. No, it's not. I know you're told it is, but no, it's not. So, okay, I got to get away from that. All right. So let's get to some of the other things. All right. So again, I just want to throw these things at you because I want you to know it's not always what you think of what it is. Now, I want to take a look at several things. Empirical evidence. Now, not looking at the scriptures, but just looking at things around us. And let's just make some observations, okay? All right. And number one, if you want to take down some notes, this will be good for you. Now, number one, I hope there's a whole lot of you here today that have these questions. And if it's a legitimate question, I'm hoping that those that have legitimate questions are here. Those that don't have legitimate questions, then it doesn't matter anyway. But I have found that genuine seekers, if you want to know the truth is eventually going to be revealed. You're going to get to see it. But see, I have found, and this may come across tough, but I want you to hear it. I have found that most have bias in their study. Therefore, here's what they want the conclusion to be. So they line up a whole system of things to make sure they get to the conclusion they want to get to. And boy, they get ticked off with you if you question the method of how they got to where they got. It was so interesting. In the earlier years, when I was a believer, I knew what was true in my heart. I knew what God showed me, but I didn't know anything else. And so I remember I used to get really questions what I couldn't answer. And felt foolish. So I spent the time and studied myself and found out all this information. And as soon as I got myself equipped to take a look at the facts around me and understand the world around me and different things and truth about it, then nobody wanted to talk to me anymore. Does that make sense? As long as I was the ignorant guy that they could always buffalo, they were willing to talk to me. But as soon as I start knowing what to say and how to respond, well, they would shut it down from then on. All right. But number one, here's some thoughts. First of all, let's just take a look at the cosmos. Let's take a look at the things around us. Okay, couple of givens. One given especially that you have to that you have to go along with. And here we go. Underneath the look at the cosmos. Number one is what I'm going to call existence. All right? Things exist. Now, if you're one of those who ask the question, how do you know things exist? Then I'm not talking to you. Okay? But if you've at least gotten to the point to where you say that you exist and other things exist, then we want to talk this morning. Believe it or not, I've had people, how do you know things, you know, like Matrix kind of thing. How do you really know things exist? And this is not awesome. Okay, if you've got that, then you won't talk to somebody else. But the greater majority of us, we can say, okay, things exist. All right, number two. Think about this for a second. Everything that is alive, everything that we know is contingent. That means it is dependent upon something else. The world in which we have around us is a very dependent world. And just taking a look at it, we like to think we're independent, but you're very dependent. Contingent, like contingency in a contract. Therefore, it is dependence upon something else in order for the contract to be obviously legal or binding. And so it's the same thing here when you take a look. Now, let me throw a couple things out at you. Okay? Just a look around us. And here's just a thought. Okay? If you want to draw a circle on a piece of paper or whatever you have around you. And here's what I want you to do. Inside the circle, I want you to put everything that is contingent in the world around you. That is, it is temporary, and it has a tendency to wind down. We'll talk about that in a minute. And put everything inside the circle that is contingent, all right, for its existence. All right? And you can say, I've already put some in there. You know, the sun, you know, what we've learned about the sun is that it is burning. And it is eventually going to burn out. So it is drawing down. It is burning. All right? Then you take a look at the plants. They have their existence, but they're contingent on other things to exist. Okay? Soil, light, water, all of the rest. Okay? It's a contingent world, dependent. Now, animals, obviously, which you were concluded, humans, things that are dependent on other things. Technology, the race, right? They're contingent. They are dependent upon, if fans don't go, if people don't buy their stuff, then they don't exist. Okay? Or they move somewhere else where they have to depend on something. You know what I'm saying? So everything around you. Now, here's the great thought. This is so simple. This is not hard to talk about. This was not hard to prepare for if you want to know. It's gone. Put it back up. So when you think about, here we go. When you think about that, okay, that circle, and everything's in it, it's contingent. Everything we know around us is contingent. The question to ask yourself, where did it all come from? Therefore, it has its existence. And where did it all come from? And the question to ask yourself is, do you think that something inside the circle created everything that's inside the circle? Do you think something then that is dependent upon other things could actually create all these things or put into motion all of these things? Or that all of these things that could have fallen into place by chance? It's an amazing thing to think about. The other thought is this, okay? I'm not going to stay here a whole lot longer, but I want you to see a couple of things. That everything that is caused by something else, everything that degrades, you know, it's a thing called, I don't want to get too technical for you, but I learned all these things. And it's a thing called entropy, right? It's a 50-cent word that really is easy to explain, all right? Everything that's contingent is also winding down. That is, it starts here, it's kind of like wound up, and then it's unwinding. Even the universe, they say, is expanding. Started, and it's expanding. Right? Now, it's called entropy. Now, the best way to understand entropy I saw it the other day. I was looking at my wedding pictures. And Jeff is winding down. I may fight to keep myself from winding down. I may try to exercise. I may try to do other things to keep. But you are fighting a losing battle. And no, you don't want to hear that. It's like, well, okay, I know that's the truth, but I don't want to hear it. I know a lot of people live that way. But it's the truth. And if you want to hear the truth, today it is the truth. Things are winding down. It's the second law. I mean, this sounds like I'm really smart, but I'm not. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. In other words, it is a law. It is a proven fact that the things that we have around us are winding down. They're going down. But remember, whenever a top spins, it spins and then it gets slower and slower and slower. It's winding down. But the picture you always have to think is that somebody started it. It didn't just start by itself. It's an incredible thing to think about. When you put all this together and you begin to think about what that looks like, okay? Questions like what caused all of these things, you know? All right? Questions about when they're winding down, what does that mean and what does that look like? All right? So something outside the circle. Can you put the circle back up for me? Something outside the circle created then, had to have created. So what something would be outside the circle that could do that? Well, something that's non-reliant, something that is self-sufficient, something that is very powerful, perhaps something that's eternal. Something that put it into place. Causality is a huge thing. But that's the classical definition of God. Guys, I don't want to. Again, I'm not. I just want you to understand this. These folks, anybody that really knows, these folks won't do debates anymore. Y'all realize that? These folks, those that all, when the whole debate is about existence, and the whole debate is about creation, and is there a God, is there no God? These folks that don't believe there's a God won't debate anymore. Because it doesn't take much. It actually is very easy to whip them. Because there's nothing founded. The belief in nothing is hard to defend. I mean, why? Because things do exist. Okay? All right, number two. A couple other things I want to share with you, just for you to see. Just for you to think about. Number two is what I'm going to call a look at order. Okay? A look at order. Now, this one's really interesting because when you think about order, you think about things that are put into place. Now, I don't know about you, but wherever you are, okay? Whether you're at work, whether you're at home, especially if you have kids, do things tend to evolve into higher order or lower order if you just let them go? All right? Therefore, I found when something let go, it has a tendency to go into chaos or disorder. Therefore, if something is ordered, that means somebody has worked to get it into order. Now, what I'm trying to say really is random chance only can only explain so much. Here's the thought. Let's say you went to Las Vegas. Okay, now I'm not advertising, right? But let's just say you went to Las Vegas and they gave you a dice or a die, right? Just one. And you threw it, and it came out one. All right? One. All right? Picked it up again, and you rolled it again, and it came out two. Oh, that's kind of coincidence. And then you took it again, and you threw it, and it was three. And then you threw it again, and it was four. What are the chances? And then you did it, and it was five. and then 6, and then you started it again, and it went back to 1. And you kept going hundreds of times. And it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, you can't explain that by random chance. Everything just doesn't line up in order on its own. Not in this world. In fact, if there is order, that means somebody has put that into order. Because things have a tendency to go into disorder, that is, to degrade. We've already talked about that. Now, as you're tracking with me, okay? If you're already lost, then just go back to sleep, right? But for those of you that are tracking with me, all right, let's just put this together and think about what these things called order really mean. I mean, is it truly possible to throw a bomb into a print shop and blow up the print shop? Is it really possible to come out at the end with the dictionary? That is, if you just by random chance throw a bomb in a print factory and it just, oh, wow, what a miracle. It just all came out. We have the dictionary now. So I got to just throw a bomb in there and cool things can happen. It's just not possible. Random chance will only take you so far. Now, I want you to think about this. All right? This is an incredible thing to me. In case you don't know, this is a cell phone. This is my cell phone. My kids tell me that this technology is wasted on me. And they're right. I mean, they said, Dad, that thing will take off and go to the moon, and you don't do anything but drive down the street with it. I know that. It'll do a whole lot more than I'm capable of doing with it, but that's not the point today. Now, the point is, this exists. And the point is that somebody a whole lot smarter than me put it together. Okay? And the point is, it does a whole lot of incredible things. And it has a design. And literally, you can talk into it. And it is so programmed. It is so designed to be able to be an incredible invention. I mean, I don't know about you, but it still amazes me. This is almost kind of the science fiction of my childhood. You know, talking into a computer and it answers you, right? And it's going to keep getting better. But let me tell you this. I want you just to think about this. For those who have ears to hear, if you truly want to know. What are the chances? What are the chances that over millions of years that something like this could evolve from primordial ooze? Right? Down through the ages, you know, it formed into cans and a string. And then, right? If any of y'all remember that, my kids saw one in the museum the other day, right? And then you remember when you got the first one. And you had the long cord that would go around the house. Well, y'all don't remember any of this, you know. And then the first cell phone. I mean, you could do bicep curls with it, right? It's about this long. Y'all remember it. You know, it would be so hot you couldn't touch it if you talked very long. And then the bag phone, you know. You could put a bag over, you know. And then after another million years. Now, you would say, Jeff, that is preposterous. And you're right. And yet, we allow people to get away with saying that everything about you evolved over long periods of time. Let me give you an example, okay? The human eye. I had so much fun with this last night. The human eye is an amazing thing. In fact, I had an ophthalmologist, a doctor in our service, and he came back afterwards and he said, "Jeff, that was so great." He started going because he knew so much more than I did. And so he started telling me so much more about the eye and just how complicated the eye is. And he was telling about all of these color strips in the eye, said Jeff, that are so microscopically thin you can hardly see them. And yet they distinguish colors. In fact, your eye can distinguish 1,000 different shades of color. I know I was on an airplane. I was on an airplane yesterday coming back into town and flying over Tennessee and then parts of Georgia and into Florida. And I could look out and my eye with its focus could look into the horizon from that plane hundreds of miles away and then turn around when the stewardess asked me what I want to drink and see her face immediately and then look back down to my page to read. Just like that. Rods and cones and lenses. And he was going into last night, macula with the word, unbelievable. Just all the different pupil that brings in, that opens up so you can see better when it's dark and closes down when it gets too bright. All in a split second without you doing anything. It just works. It just works. It's far more complicated than this. Your eye. In fact, I want you to hear this. This is a quote. I'm not making this up. Charles Darwin. Y'all have heard of him? Okay. Charles Darwin, this was a direct quote from him. This is what he said. "To suppose that the human eye, with so many parts working together, could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree." Interesting, is it not? So, when you think about a design, guys, it always gives rise to a designer. In every case, every single time, when the earth rotates daily on its axis, when it takes a year to go around the sun, and it's leaned in such a way so we have perfect seasons for growing and for other things. Okay? When birds have these complex migrating patterns. When salmon will swim upstream back to home, back to spawn where they were born. When you take a look at now that they've unlocked the DNA and you see how unique we all really are. And when you see photosynthesis that you talk about oxygen and when you talk, I mean, it goes on and on and on, and you have this design, this oxygen atmosphere, this, when you have all this, the guy could go on and on and on and on. And guys, this is just what it's meant by Romans when it says you can see God's divine power by just looking around you. If you take an unbiased look, I think that's amazing. So order. The things that go on around you. Okay? So therefore, when I see a phone, when I have a watch, when I was riding on that 737 jet, I believe it was, on every occasion, I don't even think that somewhere there wasn't a cell phone maker, and somewhere there was not a watchmaker, and somewhere there's not somebody who's assembling jets. Never do I think, oh, well, that jet, you know, just kind of formed. And I just don't think that. So why would we? Anyway, I think you got the idea. Right? I think you got the idea. Number three, and this is where I'll close, is what I'm going to call a moral code. There is something inside all of us, if you'll stop. And it's what I call the moral code. Where does the sense of justice come from? Where does the sense of right and wrong come from. C.S. Lewis put it this way. This moral code points to a connection with the supreme moral being who is responsible for stamping that moral code on the life of all people. I ask you a question. Okay? What makes, a few weeks ago, in fact, I'm looking around seeing some of you that went with me. We were in Israel. We were in Jerusalem 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And we went to the Yad Vashem. That was the Holocaust Museum there in Jerusalem. Guys, I'm here to tell you, it is one of the most heavy-hearted places you will ever go in your entire life. Especially that Hall of the Children. 6 million Jewish people died. Because, really, one man had an evil belief. I ask you this question, and I ask it with all the soberness for you to think about. Is what that man, Hitler, was it wrong? Don't answer it out loud, just think. Was it wrong for him to kill 6 million people? And I want you to hear my heart here. It was legal. Right? Why? Because he was making the laws. He was in charge. He could pass any law he wanted to pass. So it was legal. But I ask you the question. Was it wrong? If you were to say, which probably 99% of you in here would say it was wrong, the next question to ask yourself then is, here we go, why was it wrong? Now think about it. I just want you to think. You don't hear these questions. This is the one that in the debates to just make people silly, look silly. Okay, here we go. Why is that wrong? Well, if there is no God, then as bad as it may sound to you, it may not be wrong. But if you have a God who created and gave life, and He says you have no right to take it away, then it becomes wrong. A sin, we would call it. Because you have a moral being, a supreme moral being, as C.S. Lewis would call it, who has stamped upon your heart certain things that are right and wrong. And most of it's similar around the world. And I could go on and on and on. There's so much more to talk about there. But I just wanted it to be quiet for a minute and let you think about it. Because I dare you to come up. I dare you to come up with what's really wrong with stealing. All right? See, here's the great way about it. And I know this is going to be unpopular. That's never bothered me, right? But I'm here to tell you, is proof really the problem? It's not. Be honest with you, it's not hard for me to talk like this and share. It's not hard. But I have found, this may make some people upset. Please don't yell at me till later, right? It's a little embarrassing if you do it in here, right? But think about this. I have found that most people that I come into contact with don't have an intellectual problem with God's existence. Most people I come into contact with that don't believe in God, they don't want to agree that God exists because then that may mean one day they may have to answer for the way they've lived. See, it's real easy when you don't live right, it's real easy just to change the rules. Therefore, if God doesn't exist, well, then who are you? That's why they'll say, well, who are you to judge me? That's why we have what we have today. That's why we're going the way we're going. I heard by somebody the other day say, in this enlightened age, I'm like, oh my Lord, enlightened? Yeah, we have technology. Yeah, we got cool stuff. Yes, we may be intelligent, but enlightened? And that's another message for another time, right? But I just want you to hear my heart this morning. I wanted you to hear what this looks like. Now, guys, I'm here to tell you, now this won't be popular at all, but let's just make it legal. Let's just make it legal. Well, remember, what Hitler did was legal. That doesn't matter. Let's just say that it's not wrong. Saying it's not wrong doesn't make it right. And again, you may not want to hear this. But guys, this is what the Scriptures teach. This is what God says is the truth. But I get people that laugh. I get people in church that laugh at me. But I'm here to tell you that sex outside of marriage, it's wrong. Jeff, who are you to judge? And I've had people tell me in the church, oh, Jeff, that's so 1900s. I understand what they're saying because that's not what they hear in school and that's not what everybody that does outside. But I'm here to tell you, do you? See, it's much easier to say, well, God doesn't exist. That way I can live any way I want to live. But it doesn't matter if you say God exists or He doesn't. He does exist. And it doesn't matter if you say He doesn't. That doesn't apply to you. It does apply to you. So, is proof really the problem? You know, I could get a lot quieter, but I'm not going to do that anymore. It's getting too quiet. You're making me nervous. But I just want you to hear it, guys. It does. Well, I don't believe that. That doesn't matter. See, we've gotten so arrogant in our country that we think if we don't believe it, then that means it doesn't apply to us. And that's not the truth. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that doesn't matter, does it? I don't believe in gravity. You have every right in the world to not believe in it, but that doesn't mean it's not true. So, okay, as I close, this is kind of what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. Questions, tough questions. They'll get tough. This one was easy, to be honest with you, all right? Because it's fairly straightforward. The answers are fairly straightforward. And guys, I mean, it doesn't matter if this guy or lady has more degrees than a thermometer. I'm here to tell you it's politically correct to be able to fit into the fraternity of academians. And therefore, we check our brains at the door so that we can fit into some intellectual group. I'm just sharing it like it is. And they have no toleration for someone who believes any different than they do. So don't expect to be welcome in. Oh, well, you believe a little different. That's no problem. That's just not the way it is, especially in this case. So as I wanted to share with you this morning, the next question you should have, okay, Jeff, I can see there's probably God does exist. But how can you know who He is? And there's so many religions in the world. How do you know which one? And Jeff, I got other questions. I mean, if God is good, then why is there so much pain in the world? Why is there so much pain in my life? You know, I've heard people say, which is pretty good, God cannot be all good and all powerful. Because if He's all good, He can't be all powerful, or else He'd do something about what's going on. Or He's all powerful, but He's not all good. Because if He was able, then why wouldn't He? Well, we're going to talk about things like that. Lots of questions. Good questions. I'm not saying I can answer all of them, but I'm telling you, we're going to talk about them. I'm not afraid. I'm not telling you what. Some people are like, well, you just guys are just afraid of tough questions. I'm not. I've been talking about them all my life. I love having conversations with folks. But I found the person who tries to come across that they know everything usually doesn't know anything. Just throwing it out to you. So, this is, again, we decided to take... I wouldn't have to have done this message 25 years ago. Things have so changed in our culture. And if you want to know, if you truly want to know, that's why I love... I don't have a problem with people disagreeing with me. But I love people who are truth seekers. That is, they want to know the truth. Whether they find what they personally want or not, they want to know. And because the Bible gives you a promise that if you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you'll seek Him with your heart. Therefore, if you want to know the truth, and it says there in that Romans passage, you're going to know it if you want to know it. All right? If you truly want to know it. So as I close today, I'm going to have to kind of stop because there's a lot more than I don't have time to share with you. But we're going to we started real broad today, and we're going to kind of narrow down. I'm going to share with you some things about other belief systems, what that looks like, and who God is, who the Bible is, what it teaches about Him, who Christ really is, not what other people say about Him, but who He really is, what the Scripture says that He really is, what He came to do. Again, I'm not sure people truly know. So I want you to know this is kind of something that we're looking at forward to talking about over the next few weeks in this series. We just have called, all right, God Questions, all right?